Good evening, family. I would like everybody to go ahead and limber up their fingers. There's no PowerPoint tonight, and the scriptures won't be on the screen, and we're going to be reading a bunch from the minor prophets. I did it on purpose so that we could get used to finding these books in the Old Testament, figuring out where they're at. Justice said that he had a plan on the easiest way to find the minor prophets. It was just find the last book of the Bible and then just count backward from there. You only have 12 books. You'd be able to find it sooner or later. That's what I said. No? Well, last book of the Hebrew Bible. Go back 12. You've got it from there. And I think a lot of times, I mentioned last week we were going to be starting a series out of the minor prophets, but I think a lot of times when we hear minor prophets, a lot of us, we just automatically think of them as more like the B-list of the prophets, right? They're not the A-list celebrity prophets, and so they're not really as important. Yeah, they're important because they were God's spokesman, but they're no Isaiah or Jeremiah, okay? And we really need to be paying attention to Isaiah and Jeremiah big time before we start paying attention to Amos. I mean, who names their kid Amos anyway? Some people do. So we need to be looking at them and paying attention, because the only reason that they're called minor is very simple. It's because of the length of their writings. That's the only reason they got classified as the minor prophets. And really the topics that they deal with are anything but minor. For instance, turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. You know, we look at the things that the minor prophets are going to say, and they're going to have some pretty heavy-hitting subjects that they're going to deal with. And we're going to notice that they're going to be very relevant to the world that we live in today. We're in Hosea chapter 4. We're going to just read the first two verses there. It says, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed." Could you imagine Hosea saying that to our society? That's not too hard of a stretch of an imagination if we were to look at this in more modern day terms. Or go to Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 3. Amos chapter 6, starting in verse 3, says, "Do you put off the day of calamity? And would you bring near the seat of violence? Those who recline on beds of ivory and sprawl on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who improvise to the sound of the harp and like David have composed songs for themselves, who drink wine from sacrificial bowls while they anoint themselves with the finest of oils, yet they have not grieved over the ruin of Joseph." And Alan in his class this morning talked a lot about language. And one of the things that we're going to notice as we read through the minor prophets is that the language is going to be very different than the language that we use today. We're not going to go around and talk to people who, for instance, recline on beds of ivory. In fact, I'm not sure I want to recline on a bed of ivory. That just sounds completely uncomfortable, right? But look at the language that Amos is using, and you can imagine it being very similar to, say, him talking to people who are surrounding themselves with nothing but screens and entertainment in order to fill themselves. Because that's Amos's point. Of a people that are self-serving so much that they don't even care about the ruin that sin has brought into the land. Or you go to Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2, we'll read the first two verses there. "Woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil on their beds. When morning comes, they do it, for it is in the power of their hands. They covet fields and then seize them, and houses and take them away. They rob a man and his house, a man and his inheritances." We're going to be reading through Micah at some point, and I think you'd be excused if you thought you were reading the daily headlines as you were reading through Micah. The topics that these men are, that God is sending them to talk about, are not minor. They are a big deal, and they are going to have a message for us today. When Paul wrote to the church in Romans chapter 15, And he said, everything that was written beforehand was written so that we could get some education and be instructed on what is going on, and so that through the scriptures we would have hope. We need to recognize that, yes, there are some very different politically theological ideas going on in the land of Israel and Judah. Okay? Because God is supposed to be their king, and they're supposed to be acting as a people who have God as their king. That's going to be kind of different from the way that we live today. Our society does not have God as its king, and the people who are a part of it do not live as if God is society's king. And so there's going to be some minor differences in the societies that we're going to be looking at, but I'm here to tell you right now that just because there's minor differences in societies does not mean that the message only applied to Israel and Judah. That the things the prophets are saying are going to be principles of what God believes people should be, how they should behave. And that's going to be a recurring theme through the prophets, is the social climate. How are the people behaving? Are they behaving the way that they should? Are they behaving the way that they shouldn't? And over again, the prophets are going to speak out against oppression, violence, greed, lust for power. The moral evils of society are drawing their attention to serve the primary message that the prophets are bringing. And the materialism, the violence, the immorality, again, this is not unique to Israel's society. Every society that has existed since the beginning of time has these things as a characteristic of some part of that society. It may not be the whole, but it will at least affect one or more parts of that society. It may affect economics, for instance. In a society, you could see materialism and violence, immorality, greed, lust for power, affecting the economics of a society. Politics. I don't even have to go into that, do I? How greed, lust for power, immorality affect the politics of a society. But then have we stopped to consider that oppression, violence, greed, lust for power, materialism, immorality also affect the family segment of society? It's not just Big Brother that's creating all the trouble. It begins in the homes. And it will begin infiltrating society to the point where politics are going to follow suit and economics are going to follow suit. The issues of the day for the minor prophets are the same issues of our day. And it becomes an interesting thing to note that while they're prophesying and bringing a message of sin and its consequences, there's also a very heavy reliance on repentance and mercy. When they're presenting a message of sin and its consequences, it is always followed up with the concepts of repentance and God's mercy. For instance, look at Malachi chapter 3. Now, Malachi has gone through and he said quite a bit of stuff up to this point. And he says, but God says, if you would just repent and do what he's saying, notice what he says there in Malachi 3, starting in verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground. Nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. But that will only happen if they repent. The blessings that God is promising, the mercy that he is ready to pour out on people, is only available in repentance. And for those that are going to remain faithful during these segments, if you jump down to chapter 4 of Malachi, in verse 2, he says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. There's blessing for those that remain faithful and righteous during the times that they find themselves living in an immoral, godless society. And whether that society repents and receives God's mercy or not does not change the fact that if people would remain faithful who are already faithful, stay that way, God will continue to bless them, no matter what society they find themselves in. And so the message that we're going to see over and over again from the minor prophets is actually very simple, and we need to be remembering that as we move forward. The message they bring to society is renounce sin and seek God's mercy. I don't think that the message is any different today. I don't think that message has actually changed at all historically. You know, we read of Paul saying, we beg of you, be reconciled to God. And we make the same claim. We're meant to make the same claim and present the same message today. So here's the plan. This is a pretty short time that we've got tonight, but here's the plan of what we're going to be doing just to kind of whet our appetites for where we're going to be going over the next several weeks on Sunday night. I want to encourage you. We're going to do it. I had originally thought we were going to do it chronologically, but I changed my mind. We're just going to do it as the order that they appear in your Old Testament Bibles. That's how we're going to start. We're going to go start with Hosea and just move forward from there. But as you read through it, so be prepared to have Hosea read by next Sunday night. This won't be a difficult task. They're very short. Some of them are very short and others not so short, but they're not overly long. But I'm going to encourage you to do a couple of things as you're reading them. First, when you begin to sit down in a moment of quiet and you're ready to read Hosea, for instance, this week, I'm going to encourage you to pray before you read. Approach the book prayerfully, asking for God to show you the message that he has for his people, the message that he had for his people, and the message that he has for his people. Approach it prayerfully, approach it thoughtfully. And as you read it, a good general dose of common sense and logic. Apply it as you're reading it. I'm going to be answering three questions as we go through the book. We're going to answer, what did the message mean then? We're going to answer, what relevance does the message have now? Okay. And when I say what relevance does the message have now, we're going to start individually. What relevance does the message have to me? What relevance does the message have to society? And what relevance does the message have to the nation that we find ourselves living in? And then we'll answer the third question, what is God trying to tell us? As his people, what's he trying to teach us? What's the plan of action that he has for us from these books? So Lord willing, next week, again, Hosea, I encourage you to read through that. These books were written hundreds of years ago, and I came across this quote that I'm going to give you about the minor prophets. It said that while these books were written hundreds of years ago, the message is as current as the moment you read it. And so we're going to look at these men and their writings and looking at how their application and relevance for modern day still continues. Well, I encourage you, read through that with us and invite others who aren't here tonight to read through that as well and spend this time together as we go into it. We're going to stand and sing a song that Sam has prepared for us. I Have Decided to Follow Jesus is the title of it. So we're going to use that as a moment of reflection and meditation, because for those of us that have decided to be Christians, however many years ago it was, it is always a good thing to say with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength that you are continuing to follow Jesus. That is a daily decision that we make every moment of our lives. And if you're with us tonight, now is a wonderful opportunity to embrace the truth of what God has accomplished for mankind in his Son. He sent his Son to this earth because of his great love for us, to show us what God looked like in the way that Jesus acted, in the way that he spoke, and in the way that he was willing to give his life so that mankind could have an escape from sin. We would encourage you to make the confession of Jesus as the Christ and repent of your sins. Renounce that sin. Seek God's mercy. Find it in the waters of baptism where forgiveness is granted, and you're introduced to the grace of God. And if you're ready to take those steps, we encourage you, come while we stand and sing.